Okay.
Yesterday, Shia was devoted to Bidikas Chametz, and we will continue to examine other minutia relating to Bidikas Chametz. We noted yesterday in Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta, Rashi's position on the Bezum and Alf and Psochim that Bidika is a din daraisa. Tosfos and Rishonim ask many questions on Rashi, because the Gemara indicates on the Abdalad very clearly that min haTorah one can fulfill the mitzvah of Ach Bayam Harishon Tashbis Sosomi Batechem through the recourse of Bittul. Midaraisa Bebittul Ba'al Masagi. Min haTorah Bittul is sufficient. And Bidika is only a din d'Rabbanan. And as Tosfos expresses it, we're worried that perhaps a person will find chametz on Pesach and might come to eat it. Therefore, we do Bidikas Chametz. So this is the subject of a massive Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. And the Ran explains, as we noted yesterday in the Shir, that according to Rashi, there are two approaches, either Bidika or Bittul. So we indicated that even though people generally tend to clean their homes before Pesach, well before Pesach, even before Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, the din that we discussed in yesterday's Shir, however, there are two separate dinning, as Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal pointed out. There's a din of spring cleaning, and then there's a din of a takonas chazal of bedikas chametz. And that we mentioned is a clear mechaber that's found here in Shulchan Aruch. The mechaber notes in Tuf Lamed Gimel, Sif Yud Aleph, that even though one cleans one's room on Yud Gimel Nisan, and now has intention to go ahead and be bodi chametz, and is careful not to bring chametz in the room that one cleaned, there's still a takonas chazal that one should do b'dikas chametz on all the yudalot, as the first Mishnah in Psachim indicates very clearly. So, assuming that, generally speaking, as we mentioned yesterday, Shir as well, that people don't spend enormous amounts of time doing b'dikas chametz because one has already done a thorough cleaning job prior to Pesach, but still one should inquire from the members of one's household in each particular spot whether it was cleaned properly or not. And we did not mention yesterday, but we should mention there's a need to even examine tikim, briefcases of young children, because certainly one cannot be somich on them regarding this issue, since they tend to carry chametz with them everywhere they go, in different forms, different types of food items. And this is something that one should be cognizant of. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Tuf Lamed Beis, Sivkot and Ches. Hopefully you have a Mishnah Berurah in front of you so you'll be able to refer to it. But in Tuf Lamed Beis, Siv Kod Ches, Mishnah Berurah writes at the end of that Sif that HaBedika Kilchasa Yesh V'Torach Godol, that there's a lot of effort that's involved, that should be involved in the process of Bedikas Chametz. V'yesh Locho Shem Yis'atzlu, we're afraid that people might show lassitude, might show laziness, they might be slothful with reference to the Bedikas Chametz. They won't do bdika, they won't do a proper kind of job. So one can only rely upon individuals who are, in effect, b'nei samcha. And therefore, I heard in the name of Hagoyin Abraham Kodos Atzal that his practice was, he's to ask the b'nei abayis, the members of his household, b'shas habdika, did they already clean this particular spot? Did they clean that spot? Did they clean the third spot? And if they indicated they already cleaned that spot, then he would not do bdika in that particular spot, because he was somich, he relied upon the members of his household. And this is also how, in effect, Hagon Shlomo Zalman Oyebar Zatzal writes in Halicha Shlomo, if you're interested in looking at it, it's Amud Tzadik Ches, points out something of a similar nature, that we can't just rely on a general kind of statement that cleaning was done, because there are many, many different places and many different types of kalim, and therefore one has to be mevarer to the extent that one possibly can. Often there's a question regarding perurin. What about crumbs? So there's a famous Gemara in Psachim Lavav Mebeis. The Gemara says, perurin lo chashibi. Perurin do not require bittul. There's no need to be mevatel perurin. Even though the Achronim discuss a very famous question, which the Gemara has in Yuma in the last parak. The Gemara has a machlokes, whether chatzi shir asim in HaTorah, a chatzis shir is not awesome in HaTorah. We pass on Rav Yochanan, the chatzis shir is awesome in HaTorah. And the question is, was there an isa of chatzis shir with the lavim Abayirah Bayimotze. Many contend that there is no Inyan of Chatzis Shir with reference to Bayirah Bayimotze, because the Shakasari writes that the whole basis of Chatzis Shir, one of the reasons the Gemara advances is because Chadis Darufe, that since a person ate a Chatzis Shir, and now he's going to eat another Chatzis Shir, so together they'll form a full Shir, a Shir Sholeim. So perhaps this is not necessarily relevant to Bayirah Bayimotze. I'm not going to discuss this issue, but this is a question regarding Peruvin, regarding crumbs. Generally, we assume that we're not worried about crumbs regarding the din of bittul. There's no need for bittul because automatically these crumbs are so small, they're a batel memela. And therefore, so too, there's no isur Bayirah Bayimotze regarding the crumbs. And therefore, as far as bdikah and biyah are concerned, it would not be necessary. And there's not even an isur of chatzis shir. And there's no need to go ahead and do bdikah or do biyah regarding this item. And that's how Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal writes in the Shels and Shubas Igris Moshe, or Chayim Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Mem Hei. He indicates, Perur and Dakin, Vadai Betelim Yatzmam, Beinon Tzrichim Diko Bittol. There's no need to be Bodek or to be Mavatel, these Perurim. We're talking about crumbs. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a Sofi regarding if I have a larger chaticha, not pirurim, but it's a bit less than a kizayis. Is that considered to be pirurim or not? Then he writes, la'alocha tzarchiyan ladina v'yesh la'achmir. One should be machmir regarding those items. However, there are other achronim who disagree. The other achronim, the Radvaz, for example, takes the position that even pirurim require bedika. One has to examine, one has to be bodek for pirurim, for crumbs as well. So this is the subject of the big machlokas among the generally, the position is that Pirurim lo chashivi. As far as the reasoning for this is because the major time for Bdikas Chametz, as we explained a moment ago, according to Rashi and Dabez and Manalip, that one is bodek in order not to be over by Ruah by Yimotze. But Taisus writes, as I pointed out, also in Dabez and Manalip, the time is because of Chashem Yavel Achlo. You might come to eat the item. And as Min HaTorah, bittul sufficient, but Bdikas required, Mid Rabbanon, because you might come to eat the item. And therefore, even if you want to assume, according to Tosfos, that Pirurin are Mamela Batel, there's no Bayirah Bayimotze, but again, here perhaps there might be a Chashash of Shem Yavo L'Ochlam. That's the issue that we are, according to Tosfos, because certainly there's an Isra Achiva, even Pirurin. Certainly you would not be allowed to eat Pirurin of Chametz, even though, as I indicated, that they're Batel by themselves, in terms of the issue of Bayirah Bayimotze. But certainly the gzera of Shem Yavo L'Ochlo would be relevant to Peruin, to crumbs of chametz as well. One could argue that since Peruin are not choshev, and they're going to essentially ultimately disintegrate because they're so small in terms of their size and the like, that they're not really something of significance. So we're not worried about this chash of Shema Yavo L'Ochlo. A person might come to eat them. But if there is such a chash, if there is such a possibility that they might become mixed up in whatever other kind of food items, and one might actually come to eat it. So we're talking about when one is looking in a drawer or in a cabinet, where sometimes food can be placed there, or actually even kalim that are utilized for the purpose of food preparation. So therefore, one should also try one's best to clean those items to the extent that one possibly can. Now, all this, of course, is Mikra Adin. The Rosh, in a very famous comment in the third parak of Psochim, he writes, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, because Klal Yisrael are known for their sanctity, Gorimin Umevarin Kol Chametz HaNimtza, Afilu Kolshu, we literally go and scrape every single surface, and Afilu HuNidbak Bekosli Abayis, even if the Chametz is attached to the walls of the house, somehow in the course of preparing whatever food I was preparing, so now there is a spritzing kind of effect that occurred on the walls of my kitchen or wherever it may be, and now this chametz that attaches itself, that is now an adhesion to the walls of one's house. So the Rosh indicates that this is the practice of Klal Yisrael, Minog Yisrael HaKadoshim, and therefore, according to that Rosh, undoubtedly, there's an obligation to go ahead and be bodek and be mevarit pirurin as well, even crumbs. However, it would seem that even according to the Rosh, and Yisrael HaKadoshim, and that's called Chumah de Pischa, the way Achronim quote, and there's a minute to Minvar, everything that's only Chametz Yadua. Not that I have to go and start searching my entire house. Maybe I might find that situation, that kind of Chametz. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tov Lamed Gimel, Sivkot and Mem Vav. So here the Mishnah Berurah actually writes that b'shas habedika, when a person is doing the bedikas chametz, so the Mishnah Berurah says the following statement. He writes, u'b'shas habedika haminig litol notzos. The meaning is to take feathers, u'lechabit heite b'mkom achurim b'asdokim, ligror misham hachametzim anotza. One uses the feather in order to literally scrape off whatever particles of chametz there might be in some form of adhesion that I mentioned a moment ago. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes over here. And obviously we're talking about perurim ktanim, we're talking about very small crumbs. And because they were talking about crumbs that are much larger, that are more substantive, certainly one would not have recourse to feathers. One could actually, with one's hands, go ahead and remove that chametz. But whatever the case is, there are those who are very, very machbir with reference to this matter because of this chum of the pischa, because of the comment of the Rosh in the third parak of Psachim. And therefore, undoubtedly, if a person, while he's cleaning up during the bedika, a person actually sees chametz and sees piru, and certainly one should obviously remove them and to the extent that one possibly can. And therefore, that's the minhag Yisrael Kadoshim that certainly many, many housewives, many of our wives and mothers, Baruch Hashem, that they are very, very much on top of these matters, and they're certainly qualified, they can be classified as minhag Yisrael Kadoshim, Am Yisrael Kadoshim. What happens if I have a situation where the perurim are dirty because as a result of their being on the floor or sometimes behind cabinets or behind counters? So everyone obviously assumes automatically that there's no shash. The shash of teisa shemiyabu l'ochlo is certainly not going to be relevant, and therefore there will be no need to go ahead and be bodek in that situation. That's a taz in Siman Tov Mem Beis, Sivkot Nei, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Tov Mem Dalet, Sivkot Tezvov. That if I have less than a kezayis that's found in an area which is trod upon by legs, human legs, eino chayav levayer. There's no obligation, no circumstances to go ahead and engage in bir chametz. And regarding erev Pesach, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, again, looking at Siman Tov Mem Dalet, Siv Dalet, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, sheyinayu hamapa, simply shake the tablecloth, and thereby those items are going to be automatically removed. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that we're talking about peru and dakim. We're talking about very small crumbs. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, something which is pachos b'kezayis, umetun of ksas. It's somewhat sullied. So then there's no obligation to go ahead and engage in bir chametz under those circumstances. So therefore, regarding, let's say, this is an issue that comes up. Some people have the practice, and this I've actually heard from many, many people. They begin to move all the appliances in their home. Who knows? There might be some strawberry shortcake behind my refrigerator. Who knows what's behind my stove? Who knows what's behind my freezer? So you have massive appliances, and people feel there's a need to go ahead and move all these appliances and the like in order to find whatever might be there, might be lurking behind these appliances. Bipashtus, there's no obligation to go ahead and move all these appliances because under normal circumstances, they remain as they are, rooted in their spot. And bedarach klal, at best, if you had something did fall there, we're talking about perurim mitunafim. We're talking about certainly pieces of chametz that are clearly discolored or clearly no longer in terms of eatability. One is not going to eat such an item. And there's a tircha yisera involved. And therefore, that is certainly b'ikir adin, not required. But there are people who are machmir. There are people who are machmir to go and move refrigerators and move stoves and the like. And even though b'ikir adin, there's no need for chumrah whatsoever. But mitzad minig yisrael kadoshim, that klal yisrael are very machmir, are very particular, are very sticklers when it comes to chametz. Therefore, perhaps that's also included in hagash yisrael losim shenagu kein. I don't recommend such activity unless one is in great physical shape, that one would be able to engage in this kind of strenuous activity without Rahman al-Litzan doing some harm to one's physical persona. There's a question in Halacha that the Paskin talk about with reference to the Chiyav of Svarim, that Baruch Hashem, all of us utilize Svarim on an ongoing kind of basis. And even though we're not going to find necessarily what the Gemara speaks about Gluska Yafa Vadaiti Iluya, that one's going to find a fine piece of strawberry shortcake. I happen to have a liking for strawberry shortcake. So one is not most likely going to find a piece of strawberry shortcake in the Svarim. But still, there are Pirurim. So in the Maaser Rav of the Vilna Gaon in Ois Kufay in Ches, he writes, She'tzorech livdok b'svarim she'mishtamish b'hem b'shas ha'sudo. And that's a good piece of advice. That's an Eitz HaTov HaKamashvalon that the Vilna Gaon gives us. Namely, if we're going to use Svarim in the course of the meal on Pesach, so those Svarim that we're going to use, we should examine them prior to their being used in the course of the meal. The Chazanish also writes like that, that he writes in Simon Kuftez Zayin Os Yud Gimel at the end, Chazani says that the person is chayav livdok es asvarim mishum shash peirurin af sheim ben kizayis. Now I believe the minhag is to be meiko regarding bedika svarim. Some people have many, many svarim. I have a few behind me, and therefore, if I were to go ahead and be voting my svarim, I would have to retire 2 months before Pesach, probably 2 years before Pesach, and begin to examine my svarim. And therefore, there seems to be a makom lahakia. That's how Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal paskins. I saw in the Haggadah of the Chazon Avadia. That's how Rav Menzin Abishol paskins the halacha in Or LeZion. And even though there are those who feel otherwise, there are those who are very machmir because maybe there's a chatzis shir issue with Bal Yoba Yimatze, and maybe there's an issue Shem Yavu LaAchla once you take the sefer out to the table, and maybe you'll find something much larger than pirurim that's chashir, that's not batel, and maybe there's an issue here of all kinds of different reasons and rationales are offered by the Poskim, but it seems to me, all these reasonings, in effect, do not necessarily have to be taken into consideration because many Achronim assume there's no Isur Chatashir, even assume there is an Isur Chatashir, but Pirurim are Batel. Certainly, small particles of Chametz are going to be Batel, and even regarding the Chshash, Meiman Rav come to eat it, that's not included in the Takonas Chacham Babidika. Chazal were mesakim that maybe Shem Yavu La'achlo, again, but not under these circumstances. As I said, certainly if I have Svarim that have in it particles of Chamed, so then I should examine, that's a proper thing to do, as I mentioned from the Achronim, Eitz HaTov HaKamashvalon, to examine the Svarim that one is going to bring to the table in the course of Pesach. Understandably, that would make sense. The Mishnah Berurah actually has a comment in Siman Tov Mem Bei, Sivkot Tezayim, he says that even to take begodim hamechubasim, bechelev chita, apparently they used to use chametz ingredients in their detergents. So that way you would have a pshat, a possibility of chshash and mamoshes of chametz. But in general, as I said, because there's a tremendous tircha involved in examining svarim, and a lot of time is involved, and therefore the minhag ha'olam is lahakel, unquestionably, and we assume as well that even if I find pirurim in a sefer, those pirurim are not edible. They're not royal achila. A person is not going to come to eat them unless I know specifically that I have svarim that have chametz inside. For example, when I use zmir olim, I have different types of songsters. We're talking about svarim that have zmiras of Shabbos, zmiras of Yom Tov, so that already. Minig Yisrael Kedoshim, assuming you're going to use the same Zmironim that you use on Shabbos and Yom Tov on Pesach, in my house that's not possible. We have 7 Zmironim for Pesach and 7 Zmironim for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so that issue is not going to be an issue. But in general, as I said, you can be somech on Mechiras Chametz, which Yitz Hashem hope to discuss, and we assume that you sold the Pirurim that are found in those Svarim, and Lachatchila, one should not use those Zmironim, one should not use those songsters. Once you have a separate birkon and a separate zmiron for use on Pesach because of the chash that might be involved here. In Siman Tov Lam and Gimel,
when do we say chametz Pesach also be kol shehu? When does the kol shehu kick in? How does that fit in with this?
This is only with reference to the issue of the question Isura Bala Hatera Bala, the taste of the end of the Zorah. What the status of chametz is before Pesach, is it called Isura Bala, Hetera Bala? That's the issue of Chametz Mashu. That's the Yerodei issue, which I'm not discussing right now. That requires a separate discussion. I'm interested in saying a shir on that, but it would not interest most of the public except for you. Anyway, so I prefer to avoid that if I possibly can. I'm just talking very much Halacha Lamaisa. That's my interest. That's what people ask me to do, and so I'm trying my best to avoid any pilpulin. There's another issue quoted by the Ramah in Tov Lam and Gimel, Sif Yud Aleph. The Ramah actually writes over here the Ramah that I mentioned, but I read the Mechabit, not the Ramah. He writes, "V'kol adam tzarch lechabit chadorov kodim habdika va'akisim or batayad shel begodim shenosim mem lefam mechamet tzrichem bedika." I imagine someone who serves as the candy man in the shul, so his pockets are loaded with all types of mamtakim, all types of candies. Perhaps some of them are chametzik in nature. So the Ramah says that if one is going to put candies, chametzik candies in one's pocket, or in the batei yad of the begodim, in the sleeves of my clothing or my shirt pockets, so that requires bedika. The Mishnah Berurah actually writes over here in Siv Kodin Mem Zayin, even one is sure that I did not put chametz in there, because this is what the Gemara calls milsa de la rami alo de inish lava daite, something that a person is not necessarily cognizant of, so therefore he's not able to go ahead and be certain that he did not place chametz there, and therefore bedik is required. I think what generally people are knowing to do is that they sort of empty out their pockets b'shas abiyur, but one should be bedik one's pockets b'shas bedika, and generally speaking, I imagine most of us have a practice not to put any chametzik items in our pockets. I certainly, that's how I'm knowing, and therefore I don't have a problem in terms of having to examine all my begodim, that they may have some potential chametzik items that are ensconced in there. But still, b'shas habir, the right thing to do is to go ahead and in effect try to empty one's pockets, or to look into one's pockets, lav davka lor haner, but it should be done below yudalit, because in general, Chazal koved is mam dika dafka anleil yudalit. Now, most people do not do this. They don't examine their garments anleil yudalit because there's a tarach gadol. What am I going to go ahead and line up all the garments that I have and the garments of everyone else in my home and examine all the garments? The question is there a mokom to be melam mitzchus on klal yisrael? We always have to be melam mitzchus on klal yisrael. That's the midah that one should be knowing. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tof Lamed Gimel, and he mentions there at the very beginning of Taf Lamed Gimel, he writes it in Siv Katan Aleph. Mishnah Berurah points out over there that if a person was bodeg lor haner b'yom yud gimel, so there are poskim who say yoyotze b'di'evet. If a person is bodeg b'leil yud gimel lor haner, because lay lor haner yofel l'bdika, and then he's careful not to bring chametz into his home, so the Rachonim, I'm asking, there's no need to do b'dika again. If that's the case in our situation, the people are not knowing to be bodek kisim lor aner, even a little yudalit. People are not necessarily going to examine their garments on the night of yudalit when there's a takona of bedikas chametz. So the same thing would apply to someone who's bodek lor aner, but leil yudgimel, there's no need to once again do a bedika. And even according to those who contend that if a person was bodek bayom, you have to be bodek again, that's only because of lo plug. And Shabura writes in Sif Katan Mem Hei, even if you're bodig lo aner b'churin esnokim, but still you should be bodig b'alaylo, like the rest of Kal Yisrael, lo plug, shalo l'chali b'mdika l'mdika. And others want to say that you don't say lo plug except the gabe, the house, not the gabe, begodim, not as far as garments are concerned. So even though, even a kiss, a pocket also requires b'dika, but ikar mitzvah is to be bodig and be mevar chametz in my house. That's what the pasuk says. Ach b'yom arishon tashbisu, so'or mibateichem. So therefore, there's certainly a basis not to go ahead and examine pockets on Leil Yudalit. The fact that you examine them before Leil Yudalit, that should suffice, that should be sufficient. And especially if a person dry clean, laundered their garments, so Kol Shekein, there's no need to go ahead and examine one's garments for any kind of chametz. But again, as I said, sometimes you have maybe a pretzel that's sticking out of your pocket or something along those lines if you're not medaktik under those circumstances. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tov Lamed Vav, Sif Aleph, you take a look over there. It talks about HaMefaresh Vayotze B'Shayara. Ve'ena Manech B'Vesa Misha Yivdo. The person who's going to go on a sea voyage, Mi'abasha L'Yam, or is going on a caravan, on a trip, and he doesn't leave someone home who's going to actually go ahead and do the B'dika. Mishnah Berurah explains that it means he did not instruct anyone else to go and do the bdika prior to his trip. If he appoints somebody else, and then he himself does not have to go ahead and do bdika, we paskin shulchan shalom kamoso. The sheikh of a person is like the individual himself. The question is whether is it better that the sheikh should do the bdika bizmano in the time the chazal were masaking the bdika, namely the orli yudalid there, or he himself should do the bdika, even though it's shalom is mano, because he obviously is leaving within 30 days, and now perhaps he himself should go ahead and do the bdika. It's clear that the always, as the Gemara comments in Kedushin Mem Aleph, mitzvah bo yosef mishulcho, better that the individual himself, the Baal HaBayis himself, should be involved in the act of bdikas chametz, because within 30 days, the halacha is you have to go ahead and do the bdika. And the Ramos says that you're not going to make a bracha within 30 days, even though you're leaving. You don't make a bracha, I'll be a chametz. So the Mishnah Berurah explains over there, when you do the bdika on Leil Yudalit, it's a chazal enacted not only a takana of doing a bdikas chametz on Leil Yudalit, but also making a bracha, I'll be a chametz. Because in effect, that which you find, you're going to go ahead and be matznia, you'll set it aside in order to do be a chametz Erev Pesach. So it comes out that the bdika constitutes the Haskalah Sabir. That's how the Rishonim explains. We mentioned yesterday, the bracha is al bir chametz, even though the enmaisa that I'm doing right now is an act of bedikah, not an act of bir. The Gemara has the Mishnah Chavalov, has a Machlokes Tanoim, Chacham Rab Yehuda, in bir chametz el Sveva, that's the meaning of Klal Yisrael. Or do we say in the fire of Azor Leruach, Amato Leyan, the position of the Chachamim. And they have an effect, both are possibilities, but however, the meaning of Klal Yisrael is dafka to do it Bisreifa, but because there's a connection, because we want to connect the dots, namely the bdika of early Yudalit with the beer that's going to take place the following day, so the bracha the night before is going to be al bir chametz. This way we're connecting the bdika to the beer. Mashenkin, a person, in effect, just simply removing it from his house and doing it way before the period of time the chazal misakin, so then in those circumstances, you're not going to make the bracha al bir chametz. There are more rights here in Simon Taflam Bebeis, Sif Beis, that in effect, those who have the practice, which you mentioned, of putting out sisei chametz, that when the person does the bedika, he'll find them, and Lord, that should not be a bracha vatola if he doesn't find chametz. We already mentioned that that's not considered to be a problem. We refer to the Rosh and other Rishonim who point out, similar to the bracha of hamapil, that even though a person doesn't go to sleep, you still make the bracha of hamapil. We assume the bracha is chal on the fact that you're attempting to go to sleep. And here also, you're doing a maisa bedika. You're doing an examination. You are examining to see if there's chametz in your house, or in the case where you put out temsisei chametz, so then also you're involved in a maisa bedika. And even assume you don't put out temsisei chametz, still the halacha is the bracha can be chal because you're making a bracha on the maisa bedika. And that's a chiyah mikir adin, as the Mishnah writes, all abasar, bokis ha-chametz l'ranea. But that's only b'leil yudalit. Leil Yudalit Chazal made a takana to make a bracha. Mashenki, if you bodeg Leil Yudgimel, so then you don't make a bracha, as I indicated. And the problem is that sometimes a person won't find anything. He might be disheartened. Maybe he'll become miyuash from the bedika, the achronim say. He won't do a bedika in a proper kind of way. And by virtue of finding the psisei chametz that he put out, so then he'll do a better bedika. So that's the practice of Klal Yisrael. And the Ari HaKadosh is the one who indicated that by placing these psisei chametz, he said that the seid gadol al pi kabbalah. So you'll refer to your local Kabbalist in order to find out exactly what the seid is. We have some prominent rabbanim in front of us. I assume they're familiar with this, with the seidos al pi kabbalah. Unfortunately, I was not zeicha to hear from rabbeim regarding those seidos in Kabbalah. And the fact of the matter is that those who do bedika before you dalit, someone asked me this question, does he have to put out psisei chametz? And the answer is no. Psisei chametz are only put out on Leil Yudalit. Now we paskin b'Leil Yudalit, Shulchan Aruch writes here in Taf Lamed Aleph as well, you're not allowed to begin any malacha or to eat or even to learn before bedikas chametz. The Bir Halacha points out that even shehiyah, b'li achila, is also asr, even just waiting around. You have to try to do this as soon as you can. That's the mashmaos of the Gemara in Psochim. However, with reference to those who do bedika prior to Yudalit, there's no Isser whatsoever, because even if you forget, you don't do bedika, you can always do bedika the night after. We're talking about a person who's going to leave his home within 30 days, where he's mechuyav to go ahead and do bedika, and if he already traveled elsewhere, so again, he can always come back and do bedika, he can appoint the shliach to Yibodik Bimkomo, so that's exactly the distinction between Leil Yudalit and the other nights preceding Leil Yudalit, where many of these halachas are not necessarily applicable. There's a question whether someone who decides to leave his home for Pesach and before Yudalit, again, the issue is whether he can go ahead and make a bracha from where he is. means the bdika perhaps may be taking place. Usually, generally, the shliach is the one who's appointed. He's going to do the bdika for you. And basically, we assume that that a person who does the bdika, ala bayis, tashbisa sombi matechem, as I mentioned a few moments ago, so there the halacha is that that's when a person is obligated to go ahead and make a bracha, al biyo chametz. The question is, what about, people ask me about examining their car. There's no question that one has to examine one's car. So because often people who have young children especially, or grandchildren, they tend to eat in the car, and they tend to eat a lot of chametz in that car, and the car could be literally, certainly a makom shemachdisim b'chametz that requires bedika. So now the question is, if a person decides to examine his car, Leil Yudalid, again, regarding the issue of the bracha, regarding that matter. So it would seem that even though the pasuk says, Ach b'yom harishon tashbisa b'batecha, as you mentioned a few moments ago, it could very well be that since one often travels in a car for long distances and many, many hours are spent in a car, some people actually live in their car and some people eat in their car, eat their meals in the car, perhaps has a dinner of a bayis. So I heard from Hagoyin of Shimon Ayu Zatzal, he said the name of Hagoyin Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, that if you assume that you need dafka bayis, so then you're not going to make a bracha on Dikas Chametz when you go ahead and examine your car. And that's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also writes in Halicha Shlomo of a similar nature. There are many, many pratim here regarding this matter. We're not going to get into the details of the pratim, but the Achronim speak a lot about many, many minutia and other aspects that relate to this particular issue that I just raised. There's a question that my Rebbe, Hagoyin of Nisim Albert Zatzal, many, many years ago, he wrote a kuntres on this topic. What about chametz that's placed into the pach, into the ashba, after the Zman Yisur on Erev Pesach, after the Zman Yisur chametz? Min HaTorah, Pasuk says, Ach b'yom harishon tashbisom b'tzechen, the Mishnah has in Daf Yud Aleph, that we extended, Chachamim extended the Yisur earlier, and now I have chametz that I take out and I put into the garbage area, into the pach, into the ashba, after the Zman Yisur chametz. So can I put chametz there the chatchila before the Zman Yisur? So min HaTorah we said, midaraisa bebirta ba'al masagi. One has to be mevatel chametz, that's sufficient. Chazal require bedika and beer. Number one, because maybe, why do we need both? Maybe you're not mevatel b'leiv shalem. That's the Ran in the beginning of Psochim. Maybe the bittel, which is b'leiv, is something which is not concrete, sufficiently concrete. You might be mevatel b'leiv shalem. Therefore, there's a need to go ahead and do beat dika and beer as well. And secondly, as I mentioned, you shouldn't come to eat it. And these shoshos, the chora, have no relevance to chametz that's placed in the garbage outside my house. Certainly, I'm not interested in it. The Ramban writes, when he explains the position of Rashi, the Lusha Ramban, he points out that, and based on the Gemara says, we're worried about Shem Yimsa, Gluska Yafa, Vadaiti Luya. And the Rashi writes over there in Psochim, and the Abba Mevabez, Vachasaleh, Umashaleh, that you're going to hold on to for 1 second, and that Rotsa Bikiyumo, the fact that you want the chametz to be extant, that's the issue. No one wants chametz that's in the ashpa. Absolutely not. A person is mafkir b'leiv sholeim. You mentioned the Machlokes Rashi and Taisa, what the nature of bittul is. Is bittul b'leiv? Or Taisa writes bittul is hefker. And certainly that which I put into the ashpa, into the pach, I have no interest in it whatsoever. I'm mafkir b'leiv sholeim. Even b'cholim os hashana, you're not going to eat something that's in the ashpa, rachmanu litzlan. And therefore, l'chor, there's no din of bir chametz in the ashpa. The poskim have a long discussion about this. It could very well be there's a din of beer, even regarding items that are in the ashpa. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in Siman Tov Mem Hei, Sif Gimel. So here, there's a fascinating halacha that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Tov Mem Hei, Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes the following. Kainim Zman Yisuro, Yachal HaShlicha, B'mokam Sheha'arvim Mitzuyim Sham. Gemara says in Psochim, Adav Ches, that we have ravens. So where the ravens are, we're not worried that any chametz will be left. The ravens will go ahead and consume that chametz. So the Mechaber writes that before the Zman Yisur, this is based on Hagos Mamonios, that a person could throw the chametz where the Orvim are found. And even though sometimes the Orvim will not necessarily eat the chametz that was there, so let's say I find such chametz after the Zman Yisur, let's say after 12 o'clock, in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Aval b'shehamokom hefker lo yanichenu shem elei yivarenu. The Mechaber writes that one is obligated to go ahead and burn it. And then the Mishnah Berurah brings over there from the Achronim in Sivkot Yud Ches, if you put it b'mokom hefker ein tzarich levayer, if it's in your chotzer, then you have to be mevayer. That's what Nisim Albert Zatzal wrote a whole kuntres on this topic. Namely, often in the United States, there the pach, the garbage, the refuse, was literally either inside a person's courtyard or directly outside on the midracha, on the sidewalk, which is also considered to be perhaps his property. If it's in Yochatzeh, there's a chiyuv of beer. That's what Mishnah Berurah quotes in Taf Lamed Gimel, Sivkon Chav Ches. So here also, there'd be an obligation of beer since it's still Munach Birshuscha. So the Achronim actually bring a number of etzes with reference to this particular matter, even though it's not so simple that one can rely on it. That's what my Rebbe discussed in his kuntres, either selling the garbage cans to a non-Jew, to a goy. So it comes out that the chametz is found by Shus HaGoy, and then there's no need for beer. But again, if that's the case, you won't be able to use the garbage cans. It's not yours. It belongs to a non-Jew. And you certainly don't have permission to go ahead and use it, because otherwise the entire mechira is a haroma. As a matter of fact, this is the subject of a very famous machlokes between the Igros Meisher, Agon HaMoshe Feinstein Zatzal, and my Rebbe, Moran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. Often major corporations and major food proprietors, we're talking about the biggest food proprietors in the United States, I can only speak about what happened there. They would sell their chametz on Pesach. Before Pesach, they would sell it to a Rav, whether it's in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where Agoin the Pinchas Taitz Zatzal was the Mar Asra, was the Rav Ha'ir. So he had a connection with all the largest food establishments, and they would sell their chametz to him. But the problem is that sometimes these food establishments, okay, they sell the chametz, and then they open on Pesach and continue to sell that chametz. So what's the nature of that mechira? So Rav Soloveitchik held, "Ein lecha harama gedolu mizais." The whole mechira is batel mevutel ka'afra da'ara. There's absolutely no value whatsoever. The mechira is undone by virtue of the fact that clearly they're engaged in some sort of skullduggery. It's not a meaningful kind of mechira. In a similar vein, Rav Soloveitchik had many issues with the heter mechira during the Shnas HaShemitah. His issues are primarily, we're talking about massive, gargantuan mechira. Of course, today the situation is far better, far improved, and that requires a separate discussion, which Shemitz Hashem will hopefully take place in the course of the Shemitah year. But in terms of Erev Pesach, so if someone goes ahead and sells the chametz and then uses it on Pesach, what subterfuge, what greater subterfuge is that? The whole mechira is not valid. It's not a bona fide mechira. It's not authentic. It's been clearly declared to be not authentic by virtue of the fact that I go ahead and now use the item which I sold literally right before Pesach. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, he contended otherwise. He said, no, the halacha is that the mechira is chal, but the person is a gazlan. He's considered to be someone who's guilty of thievery. So here also, where a person sells the garbage can to a non-Jew, to a goy, and then the chametz is found in the shoes of a non-Jew, you have no right to go ahead and use that pach, use that ashpa, because that would be a haram, it wouldn't be a ma'aseh mechira. Or once you go ahead and be mafkir, the klei ha'ashpa, again, if a person's going to use them, klei me'a pesach, again, it would only be a haram of alma, but assuming that a person is not going to use it, so then perhaps there might be a mokom, lahokel. This is a question in halacha discussed by Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Siman Tov Mem Hei Siv Beis, can a person go ahead and be mafkir his chametz? Amanas lachzor v'liskos bo achar haPesach. Perhaps that kind of hefker would not be operative. So here also, you want to not be able to be mafkir klei ha'ashpa, to go ahead and be mafkir the garbage can, because my intention is to be zoche achar haPesach. So the other possibility is to go ahead and pour something into the pach that would render the chametz non-edible, not roya l'achila. So the chametz becomes in a roi l'achila, and then, of course, we're talking about using bleach or ammonia or whatever other kind of detergent. That, of course, that involves tremendous amount of tircha. I don't know anyone who does anything of this sort. I'm not familiar with it, certainly not here in Eretz Yisrael. People basically bring out their chametz to the pach ashba, and they assume it's some sort of hefker, and it's not roi l'achila. And therefore, somehow, all the etzes that my Rebbe Zatzal mentioned are not poshut as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned. I don't know about South Africa or the other geographic areas that we are addressing. And in general, as I said, if the ashpa belongs to me, if the pach ashpa is mine, that's when all this, all the aforementioned is somewhat problematic. But let's say it belongs to the municipality. And for what I understand in Eretz Yisrael, as usual, nothing is clear. Who belongs where and what belongs to whom and whose property this is and who's the bailim. Everything is essentially murky. Everything is cloudy. Everything means not just in this area, but in every other area as well. So now the question is, this is an important issue. It's an important consideration. One has to know whether the chametz is in my rishus or not in my rishus. Sometimes the municipality claims they own all the garbage cans. Others claim it's their own private affair. So anyway, I resolved the problem myself. I bought my own, and therefore I have no issue. As far as I know, mine is that which I purchased, my own hard-earned money, and therefore I have no problem with this issue. I don't know about others. Perhaps you'll ask some of the wonderful individuals who are sitting in front of me. They'll probably have more knowledge of this, of the legalities that are involved over here. Okay, so more or less what we've tried to do is simply present an overview of some of the halachas of Bdikas Chametz and the like, and Yitz Hashem, hopefully on the next year, we'll start discussing some other elements that relate to Hachanah LePesach, probably more specifically the idea of Mechiras Chametz and other areas that are relevant. And Yitz Hashem, hopefully we'll branch out and discuss as many areas as we possibly can cover in the course of the time that we have for this year.
I think the area I usually tell